rest of November. We'll be in 1 John, if you want to read ahead. Ernie's got the text up there ready. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. Now by this we know that we have come to know him, if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commandments, is a liar. And in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk in the same way as he walked. John's writing the churches in Asia Minor to encourage them in following the teachings of Jesus while challenging the false teaching that has come their way. The apostle calls these Christians to live holy lives and to stand against the habitual sins that keep repeating themselves. And if anyone does sin, they can then come before Jesus, who gave his life for the sins of all people of all times. Today's text answers the question of how a person can know if they truly belong to God or not. In 1 John 2, 3 to 4, John affirms, followers of Christ obey his commands. What does it mean to obey? I went to Webster's Dictionary on this. It defines obey to follow the commands or guidance of, behaving obediently or to comply with, the idea of going along with and supporting the direction that's laid out. Verse 3 starts by saying, by this we'll be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. This takes one a step further than just believing in Jesus, but their faith will lead them to action. Information or knowledge is not enough in maintaining a relationship with God. It must be active. Most people love seeing newborn babies. Anybody out there? Okay, I saw one hand, two hands. But what happens if you come back 5 years or 10 years later and the baby has never grown? We'd all recognize something has gone awry. We had a calf. I was mentioning this to Don and Thea and Roland and Carolyn the other day. We had a calf on the farm that never grew. No matter how much milk it got, no matter how much grain it got, it never grew. We called it compact. We live in a culture that is very leery of any form of commitment. We want a path that will give us an easy route of escape if things start turning out differently than we planned or wanted. We live together instead of getting married, often out of convenience. We don't join any clubs or groups. We're comfortable being adherents who can opt out at any time. For John, there's a difference between knowing something simply out of knowledge compared to actually applying that knowledge. To be identified with the Christ is to follow in his footsteps. Another way of saying that is it'll be obvious in being able to pick out those who identify with Jesus because of their obedience in following Christ's commands. Irenaeus, one of the early church fathers, said, moral action and right belief are inseparable. To be a Christ follower is to act and talk and live like Jesus. Christians sometimes define it as little Christ. Verse 4 goes on to say that the person who says they know Jesus but doesn't obey his commands is a liar. This is not to disqualify all of us who have failed to obey at times. It's in contrasting those whose lives are generally characterized by obedience with those who are living according to their own agenda. A person who has chosen to let their hearts become hard to God in his ways, contrasted with a person who is mature and growing spiritually and is living to please God in all they do. What does this look like in a practical way? Daily giving time to seek God, to read the Bible, to pray, to ask the Holy Spirit to partner with us in our daily lives. We're actually watching for God to intersect our day. Those who claim to know God will repeatedly make decisions that'll take them closer to the will of the Father. We look for God to set the agenda in our days by becoming soft-hearted to the broken world all around us. On our planet, someone can claim to be royalty, a king or a queen. Does anybody here know any royalty? Apparently, distantly on my mom's side, I think it was a Danish king, something, I don't know. Never met him. But what if we never see them functioning within the position or the role? It becomes difficult to believe that they what they say they are is actually true. In the second part of verse 4, it says, if we don't obey God's commands, in such a person the truth does not exist. The believers in Asia Minor could call themselves Christians, but sooner or later their actions would either validate this truth or expose it as a lie. If we identify with Jesus as his followers, yet do not follow and act upon his teachings in the Bible, we are fooling and lying to ourselves, and those looking in from the outside can see as plain as day. We're frauds. To embrace life-transforming truth is to fully embrace Jesus and allow him to be your master, your teacher, your guide. Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of me? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Marlene was pulled over by a policeman. He came up to her door. He said, ma'am, can I see your driver's license? And she said, why, officer? And he said, you were speeding. And she goes, actually, I don't have a driver's license. You don't have a driver's license? She said, no. It might have been the four times I was caught drinking and driving. Oh, well, can I see your registration? I don't have a registration. You don't have a registration for this car? Well, this isn't my car. Well, whose car is it? Well, I stole it. You stole the car? Yes. Well, where's the person who owns the car? They're in the trunk of the car. And they aren't moving anymore. At this, the policeman, he backed away a little bit and said, stay right where you are. He went back to his car and he called for help. Soon five cars were around Marlene's car. And now a senior officer came up very slowly to the door and said, ma'am, can you please get out of the vehicle? She gets out of the vehicle and he says, can you open up the trunk? She opens up the trunk of the car and there's nothing there. And he said, my officer told me that this car doesn't belong to you. Oh, do you want my registration? Here it is. She hands him the registration. He said, oh. He said, I hear that you don't have a driver's license either. And she goes, hang on. And she digs in her purse for a little while, and she pulls out her driver's license and gives it to him. Now the senior officer is getting quite confused. He says, I've heard that this isn't your car, that you killed somebody, that you don't own this car, so you don't have a registration, and you don't have a driver's license. And Marlene replied, she goes, I bet that liar told you I was speeding too. Are we living a lie, or are we living in the truth of Christ? In 1 John 2:5 and 6, we're reminded that to know Christ is to live like Christ. Verse 5 says, but whoever obeys his word, the love of God has reached perfection. In other words, their obedience reveals their love for God. Our understanding of what Jesus is like should shape and direct how we live our lives. But this takes more than just sitting on the sidelines. We need to become participants in our ongoing relationship with God. There are lots of people who do not enjoy watching sports. I can't believe this, but anyway, I'm going to say it. They don't like watching hockey or football or baseball on TV. But when they can go live, it feels like they're a part of the action of what's going on all around them. Have you ever experienced this? I remember going to an Oilers-Toronto Maple Leafs hockey game. The Leafs still have a hockey team. I just want to clarify that. The sound and excitement was deafening. The place was rocking. God is inviting each of us to bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. This dynamic interaction with the Christ changes us and how we interact with others. When we have personally experienced the love of Christ, we can begin loving God and others the way he designed us to. When we begin comprehending God's great unconditional love for us, it makes us want to be a part of anything and everything he does. Verse 5, second half concludes saying, by this way we may be sure we're in him? What brings us the confidence or the validation that we truly love God? It is as we daily pursue his word, which is found in scripture, that it then leads us to action. When a friend falls in love, it's often obvious that something dramatically has happened in their lives without them saying anything. The other telltale sign is when they're not spending every minute with that special person, they're talking to you about that special person concerning every detail of their lives. If you've ever experienced Jesus and have been smitten by his love, it'll be evident and obvious to all around. The text ends in verse 6 by saying, "Whoever says I abide in him ought to walk just as he has walked." In John 15, Jesus used the imagery of a vine that has branches growing out of it, which naturally should produce fruit. He compares himself to the vine and those who follow him as branches. In John 15:3, Jesus says, "Remain in me and I'll remain in you." No branch can bear fruit of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in them, they'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. To abide or live in Christ, communicate an interior connection and communication with God. In the New Testament, Christians are referred to as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the place where God dwells. It would make sense that if Jesus is living within these Christians from Asia Minor, that their lives are imitating or mirroring what God is like. Would anyone who knows you from work, school, the neighborhood, relatives, have any idea that the greatest thing that ever happened in your life is your encounter with Jesus? I intentionally did not leave our experience with Christ as something that happened in the past tense, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Our initial encounter with Jesus may have been some time ago, but we need to be filled over and over with the Holy Spirit every month, every week, every day. Our containers that hold the joy of Christ so easily spring leaks and can quickly run dry. Do you have any fresh stories of Jesus interacting with your life? Thomas Rainer, he was a Baptist and did this survey, so take it for what it's worth. But this is what he says. He said, if somebody were to come to church for the first time today, 80% of people who join a church and become active participants in a small group are still active and growing spiritually in the church 12 months later. Of people who join a church and do not become active participants in a small group, only 12% are even attending church in 12 months. If our faith in Jesus is going to remain vibrant, we need to go all in because it won't work any other way. It's crazy. Some of you know I can't swim. The whole idea of jumping in to the deep end doesn't seem attractive to me at all. But in our faith, it's the only way that works. We need to go all in. Dipping our toes in, it's never going to make it. There were those who were trying to influence the church in Asia Minor into believing that all they needed in their spiritual life was some form of knowledge or revelation. John wants to make it very clear that as these Christians are in relationship with the living Christ, that it should impact how they think and how they live. If we give God complete control of our lives and are truly in love with him, why wouldn't we want to follow his ways? His commandments are not there to limit our freedom or mold us as a cookie cutter does cookies. Rather, he's a loving father. He wants to protect us from harm and guide us on the spiritual path that is to be our daily walk. God could have created things in such a way where he would not have needed to interact with us. It amazes me how involved he is in our lives, even about the little things that wouldn't mean anything to anyone else. When Carrie and I were in our first year of marriage, we decided that we couldn't afford writing paper because we didn't have very much money. Once upon a time, people wrote handwritten letters and mailed them to Canada Post through them. Within the week, we were sent writing paper from someone to commemorate our first year wedding anniversary. Some may suggest that it was a coincidence, but Carrie and I have had hundreds of such stories of God's handprint in our lives, as have you. Some of you, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." In this passage, John clearly says that those who love God will obey his word and will live like Jesus did. Such words should either encourage us that we're on track spiritually or cause us to rethink where we're headed and what the priorities of our lives are. When Jesus enters our lives, there should be an earth-shattering shift from being selfish, wanting only what is best from us, even to the demise of others, to selflessness, because the Christ has filled the deepest desire and longing of our hearts, filling our life with purpose. We're transformed from being takers to giving our lives away for others. Rob Reamer says, at the end of our lives, the only two things that are going to matter, one is loving God, and the second is loving people. Let's pray. Jesus, when you walk this earth, you exhibited humility, grace, forgiving, and loving the unlovely. We're beginning to realize that things that are most important may not be the things that we possess physically, but it's in the spiritual realm. Let us be known as true followers of Christ instead of bad imitators. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none. put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
This morning, as we come before the Lord's table, all are welcome. It's a means of God's grace to us. I'll explain a little bit how we do communion here. We have a station to my right and to my left. For those who need gluten-free bread, there'll be plates that show that those are gluten-free. So when I'll encourage you at one point to come up. You'll take the juice and the bread together. You'll sit down, and then we'll partake of them together. When you're going out, there'll be a basket that you can put your cups in. This morning, we focus on our thanksgiving and gratitude to God. It's because of Jesus' life that we have life. In John, it says, unless a single wheat dies, it just goes to the ground. But if it dies, it produces the harvest of many seeds. And we are the fruit of Jesus' death, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his soon coming king. And so as you come this morning, I encourage you to think of things that you're thankful for, that you're grateful for, that God has done for you in the past, the things he's doing for you right now in the present, and in hope for the things that he will be doing in our lives in the future. So come and get the elements. Thank you.
covenant, Jesus shed blood for us. He says, whenever we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim his death. And we say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your shed blood. We've experienced nothing like this in any other part of our lives. But you graciously come, freely come, as we invite you into our lives to wash us clean. In Jesus' name, amen. In our benevolent, our Communion Sundays are once a month. We do a benevolent offering on the first Sunday of every month. So that's going to happen now.
Just going to have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll sing one more song, you'll be dismissed. Just a reminder, there are groups running through the week, and you can find that on the webpage. Youth is running Wednesday, 7 to 8:30 here. If you want prayer today, there are people back in the right-hand corner that'll pray for whatever needs you have. Do you ever notice when somebody's kind to you, it's easy for us to feel a little softer toward them? So when we're kind to others, it just makes them softer toward us. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing the loving kindness of the Lord never ceases. He's the one that fills us. We cannot do this on our own. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. And so it's to him we put our trust in. Amen.
We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord, our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet, we shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause he hung up on that cross, and he rose up from the grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord, our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet, we shout out your praise. Oh, shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the praise. by his grace, in the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise, oh, we shout out your praise.